Well, turning your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. We are continuing through this last chapter of the book of Philippians. And you might be tempted to think that this particular passage is full of trite sayings, of platitudes, as it were, and you're going to dismiss them like you might a meme on Facebook. It might resonate with you for just a minute. It may be worth sharing, but you'll soon forget about it. And it's gone. It's in one ear and then it's out the other. And such sayings lack the practical application that we need in our real crisis. Rejoice in the Lord always. Verse 4 there. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. It feels trivial until we remember that Paul is in prison and that Paul is writing to a people in relational conflict. He is writing from the weeds, as it were. He is down in the dirt near the roots of the problem, and it's messy down there. And he's telling them that your joy must not be located here in the circumstances around you. It must be located there in the Lord. And in the same way, in our next passage, in an intensely profound and practical way, not to be taken in one ear and out the other, Paul writes, "Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Let's pray. Father, this morning we come to this text, Lord, wanting practical help against worry and against those things that would cause us to be anxious, Lord. We need help. We pray, Lord, that you would give us the practical advice that we need to face our day and to face all that will come tomorrow. We ask this in Jesus' name. Verse 5, "Let your gentle spirit be known to all men, the Lord is near." What is this gentle spirit of which Paul speaks? What are we talking about when we see this? And I think we're helped by other translations. I preach out of the New American Standard Bible, and it says gentle spirit, and I like that. The ESV says reasonableness. Let your reasonableness be known to all. The NIV says gentleness. It picks up that same thought. The King James Version says your moderation. Let your moderation be known. The word here speaks of a calm, peaceful, fair-minded, measured response in Christ. Paul is saying, let your inward quality of inner peace that shows up in a gentle, reasonable reactions that come out, let this be seen. Let all this who you are inside, let it come out. Do you catch what's happening here? Paul's expectation for believers is that we possess and own this inner quality. This is what we're known for, as it were. It's as if those who have been brought near to the God of peace, verse 9, that's what he's called, the God of peace, by Jesus, the Prince of Peace, that we should be known for peace. So it's almost like you might say that. That we have an inner calmness, an inner gentleness, a measured and moderate response to those things that would cause us distress and pain. Paul expects the Philippians to have a gentle spirit. Paul expects followers of Christ to have a gentle spirit. Paul expects you to have a gentle spirit. And I don't know about you, but a lot of painful, concerning situations consume my mind on a daily basis, and my mind is occupied with solving problems, and I am tempted to worry. I am tempted to be anxious. And here's the thing about worry, and here's the thing about anxiousness, is that when I'm worried, I'm harsh. I'm anything but gentle. And when I'm worried, I'm unsettled. And when I'm worried, I'm unreasonable. And sometimes not logical in my responses. When I'm worried, I'm prone to overreaction. When I'm worried, I cannot rest. I cannot sleep. When I'm worried, God feels distant to me. And I suspect that I am not alone this morning, that the situations that grip your heart when you are when left to fall prey to worry have created in you inner turmoil. And you would not describe yourself as having what this passage calls a gentle spirit. You don't have what Paul expects of the believer, that you have this gentle spirit. Our passage in Philippians is for you. It's for me. This is not a trite saying to be dismissed. It is intensely practical, and it can be deployed in the most dire of situations. This passage is a command with a promise that says the right focus drives the right action, leading to unexplainable reward. Let's look at those three areas. First, when faced with difficulty, we must have the right focus. Difficulty in our context is, first off, understand, is Paul's imprisonment. That's the kind of difficulty he's talking about. That's the kind of something to be anxious about, is being in prison. And he's talking about the public dispute between these two women. And I got to say, I think this covers the gambit of all the things that we might find stressful in our own lives. Personal, crushing situations like finances, like loss of a job, or what's happening in our workplace, maybe legal trouble that we're in. I think you can find that when we think about Paul, who's been stripped of his rights. He's put in prison, and he has legal trouble, and he's in great need. So that's on one side of the problem. And then we look at the other side of it. There's the interpersonal relational conflict that he's dealing with. Here it's between two ladies that have such a conflict that it's publicly known, and it requires a public statement by the Apostle Paul. Would that not include the relational problems that we might have in our marriages, that we might have in between our parents, our relationship with our parents or our relationship with our kids? I want to suggest to you that Paul has in mind all that causes believers distress when he gives us this passage. The focus that Paul draws our attention to is in verse 5. It says, "The Lord is near." The Lord is near. He's not distant. He is engaged. He is not disengaged. He cares. He's not uncaring. He sees. He's not unseen. He feels. He's not unfeeling about your situation. The Lord is near to the distressed believer. Focus on this truth. The Lord stands next to you to face the pain with you. Let me say that again. The Lord stands next to you to face the pain with you. In fact, nothing can separate us from His nearness to us. I want you to ask yourself some diagnostic questions, some internal questions about yourself. Is your current situation, in your current situation, does God seem far from you? Does He seem distant? Put another way, are you believing the promise that He is there with you, as this verse indicates? Have you even thought about the Lord in your stress, whatever that is? Have you even thought about Him and what He would think or what He would say or what He would want from you in this moment? How do I know Well, let me think, say this. The sin of worry pulls your attention away from Christ. When we are engaged in worry, Christ seems so far from us. He doesn't seem near to us. That is the sin of worry's main thrust, is to draw you away from reliance upon Christ. How do I know that I am engaged in the sin of worry? Because I have not been thinking about the Lord. Imagine this. And with Jeremiah as an EMT, I think about these kind of things. But you come along a crash scene. You're the first to arrive in a crash scene. And there's the horrible things that are happening there. People need help. They're laying on the ground. Or maybe you've got to pull somebody out of there. And you're trying to do what you can do, but you don't know anything. You don't know what you can do. You're comforting them. You maybe are caressing their head or telling them it's okay. You're calling 911. You're doing all that you can possibly do. What happens when somebody arrives and they say the words, "I'm a doctor"? What do? You defer. I'm done. Okay, great. Somebody's here who's responsible, who can take care of this situation. I want you to focus on this truth. The Lord is in control. If the Lord is near, and He is the Lord, then the doctor has arrived. He commands the situation. He controls the outcome. The sin of worry tries to tell you that you're in control, that you can somehow manipulate the outcomes of what's going to happen, whether it's in your marriage, your family, your kids, whatever the situation is. How do I know that I'm engaged in the sin of worry? Because I think I can control the outcome. Friends, when faced with difficulty, start by examining your focus. The right focus, that the Lord is near and that He is in control, will drive the right action. That's our second point, the right action here. Verse 6, it says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Believers are commanded to not be anxious, to not engage in the sin of worry. Not one single situation must fall prey to worry. Nothing in the believer's life must be categorized as worry-worthy. Rather, our response, because the Lord is near, must be to pray to the Lord. Notice what it says. "But in everything, by prayer and supplication." So, catch this. Nothing should be worried about, and everything should be prayed about. Again, hear this as a command of Christ. Jesus doesn't want you to worry. He wants to draw you closer to God. In fact, your current distress is your now opportunity to demonstrate your faith and reliance on Him. We are to cast all of our cares, all of our burdens on Him to carry the responsibility, right? Catch this. Jesus is responsible for the Christian's burdens. He wants the responsibility, and He's inviting you to give that to Him. How are you to take your burdens to Him? What should be the mark of your prayers? Look at verse 6 again. It says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with" what? Thanksgiving. I want you to note something big here. We are not commanded to give thanks for the answers we receive. That's not the focus of this verse. God will answer our prayers and we will give thanks for answered prayers, but we are to give thanks here with our prayers. We are to give thanks for the opportunity to ask our request. Lord, thank you for this painful situation. Thank you for this situation because it draws me closer to you. It causes me to rely upon you. It demonstrates that you're near to me. The asking is the mark of thanksgiving. It is the privilege of believers to approach the King of Kings who is near to them to pray. Thank you for hearing me. Thank you for being near to me. Thank you for wanting this burden. Thank you for this opportunity to pray. It demonstrates that we know who it is that we are speaking to and the awesome privilege that we have to come to Him. Having the right focus that the Lord is near drives the right action, thankful prayer, promising this unexplained reward, which is peace. Let's look at verse 7. It says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ." The promise is God gives His peace to those who pray. That inner quality that Paul expects, that elusive, gentle spirit that Paul wants us to have here and is seems to think that we should have by nature, is created when we pray. The expectation here is Paul believes them to be a people of prayer. The sin of worry, it leads to harshness, it leads to irritability, unsettled, unreasonable, restless, overreaction, while the promise of prayer is peace. This is not a peace that comes from your problems going away. Catch that. It's not because your prayers have been answered that you receive peace. It's not because the Lord resolved all the situation that you were in that you receive peace. You receive peace because you have focused on Him and have brought things to His attention. You have peace here despite the problems that remain. And that's why this peace is called, is a peace that surpasses comprehension. Because it's not a peace that's coming from your situation. It comes from God in the midst of your situation. Friends, listen to this. The peace of God is your reward for trusting in Him in the midst of your pain. That's the promise that's being made here. The peace of God is your reward for trusting in Him in the midst of your pain. And I want you to catch this about verse 6. He takes those things that burden you, in verse 6 and verse 7, He gives you a peace about those burdens. That's what He's telling us here. And perhaps you lack peace. And perhaps you're harsh. Perhaps you're so unsettled today. Perhaps you are unreasonable, illogical. Perhaps you're restless. Perhaps you're overreacting. And if you would ask others, your spouse, your children, they would say that you're being harsh, that you're overreacting, that you don't have a gentle spirit. I want to suggest to you that perhaps you're that way because you do not pray. You go, "Oh, that's unfair, Jerry. I do pray. I pray every morning. I've prayed about this situation." Then let me suggest this to you. Perhaps, just perhaps, the situation you are in requires constant prayer. It isn't something that can just be prayed about once and to say, "I've prayed about it," and you've shared it with 20 other people and you've only prayed about it once, but it's something that requires a constant checking in with our near God to keep your heart from worry. If worry is at the door, if it's consuming you and you are finding yourself marked by irritability and harshness, then I suggest to you that you need to be in prayer. because the mark of the believer is a gentle spirit, is reasonable, moderate, fair-minded. Prayer and his promised peace are your guards against the armies of worry that want to occupy your heart and mind, according to verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, what will it do? It will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Listen to me. If you want to keep worry at bay, take your concerns to him with thanksgiving and he will give you peace. That's the promise. Worry is one of those constant enemies. Like pride. It just always seems to be lurking around the edges, ready to creep up and creep in and to take over. It's always there. It creeps in unexpectedly, and as believers, we find ourselves needing to repent again. Just like we do of pride, we need to repent of worry on a near constant basis. Because life is happening around us, and there are many situations that should cause a believer to be crushed and to crumble. But because we have His Spirit within us, and because we are those that repent and turn from the sin of worry, we should be driven to our knees in prayer. And the diagnostic for us is that if I find myself so irritable and irrational and out of control and overreacting in the midst of all the situation that I'm in, that diagnostic is telling us, pray. It's time yet again to pray to find peace. As believers, we know that God is gracious and He's forgiving, and that Jesus' death on the cross was punishment for our worry. Praise God. Because I've had a whole lot of worry, I've had a whole lot of pride, a lot of these constant sins that creep up in my life, and Jesus knew about all that, and He knows about all that I will struggle with moving forward. And my faith is not based upon my ability to live worry-free. It is not based on living pride-free. It is based upon what Christ has completed on the cross. Jesus has secured our peace with God, and the nearness of God is for us. He has secured this on our behalf. This morning, I want to invite the worried believers to flee to Him. Go to Him. Go to Him in prayer. Let us be known for having a gentle spirit, because we have turned from worry and we have turned to Christ. Now I want to invite those that have not yet trusted in Christ to give your life to Him, because He is there to take your burden of sin, and not just your burden of sin, but every burden that you will face in life, He is there to hold and wants the responsibility for that. Let's pray. Father, this morning we just thank you for this verse, these short verses that give us hope and give us practical help, Lord. Lord, I pray that we would be a people of prayer, and that we would be known for a gentle spirit, and that we would display that for all to see, Lord, that we are peaceful in the midst of crisis because we are trusting in you and we know you're right there with us. We ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen.